So, but if I'm looking at an opportunity here, you can get Christmas paid off in June by the end of this month if you want to bet against the Rockies. Daryl Ryder joins us right now. I always bet against Daryl. I've done very well for myself, considering.
Oh, come on.
Hi, Daryl. Daryl's brought to you by Shivan Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello.
Hello, boys. Glad I could contribute to the bottom line there, Ken.
Thank you very much, my friend. Daryl Ryder, he's brought to you by Shivan Jewelers. Let me start with the Cavs real quick. There's rumors abound about trades considering Darius Garland. Are you willing to move on from Darius Garland? Because I keep hearing this stuff, and I'm going, man, I still like the talent more than I like these possibilities of trades.
I don't think he's untouchable, but it all comes down to what you're getting in return. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I think the apron, that second apron plays a factor here. Getting under that, I would think, would be somewhat important. But I don't feel like this offseason that he's absolutely untouchable.
Okay. Lima, go right on ahead. Oh,
there wasn't anything else that seemed like that's a big statement to make, Daryl.
I don't think he's untouchable. The only untouchables on this roster are Evan Mobley and Donovan Mitchell. Everyone else, look, you've gotten bounced from the conference semifinals in back-to-back years in five games. You've had wonderful regular seasons. Great. You're a second-round exit now. And it's not that you're a second-round exit. You're not even competitive, really, in the second round. So I am not committed to running it back. I really am not. So anything that can improve this team, not for the regular season, but for the playoffs, so I'm certainly willing to entertain.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Shivan Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. All right, Daryl, we heard some strong commentary from Zach Jackson on the Zach Gelb show. Was it Friday? Right before the weekend, Zach had went on with Zach Gelb and said that Dylan Gabriel didn't look like an NFL QB. Harsh, but does he look like an NFL QB to you from what you've seen?
I will say this. I have seen much worse go through that building and those practice fields over the last 26 years than Dylan Gabriel.
I mean, I would assume so. So I'm like, man, this is a lot to be saying already here.
Yeah. I'm not going to comment on, you know, anything. You know, Zach has his point of view in that, and that's, you know,
well, I'm not saying you have to say nasty things about Zach. Yeah, I'm just saying whether or not you agree or disagree. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say I've seen a lot worse go through that organization than what I've seen from Dylan Gabriel. Look, I get why the Browns took him from like a talent perspective. Obviously, the 5'11 thing, it is a thing. It is important. The Browns feel he plays taller than 5'11. I'm not sold that I completely agree with that, but look, I've seen good things from both of these rookie quarterbacks this offseason. So I'm not willing to write anybody off just yet.
Well, we are getting into this discussion about whether or not it even matters anymore where the draft picks, you know, were taken. What I was wondering was, did Gabriel have a leg up at all because he was taken? You know, the commitment to him and the you know, investment of a third round pick, was that going to give him a little more leeway? But what I'm sensing just by listening to them every time they talk is no, not at all.
Yeah. I mean, if you ask Kevin Stefanski, if you ask Andrew Berry, they obviously say no. It doesn't matter if you're a free agent. It doesn't matter where you're drafted. It doesn't matter if they traded for you. Everybody's on the same level. And, like, let's be realistic here, Anthony. We all know that's not true, right? I mean, you're going to treat your first-round pick, I think, a little differently than maybe your sixth-round pick. That's just human nature in the National Football League. So, you know, I don't know if that really gives Dylan Gabriel a bit of a leg up. The reality is they had Dylan Gabriel slotted 50 spots better than they did Shedeur Sanders going into the draft, right? Because if they had a higher grade for Shedeur, they would have drafted him in the third round instead of Dylan. So I just, it's not words, it's actions. And the actions tell you all you need to know, you know, about the team's feelings. They drafted Shedeur I don't want to say on a whim, but it was kind of like a, yeah, why not?
Well,
decision.
Well, I'll tell you what, Darryl, that's why it's hard for me to believe that it's a real quote-unquote competition, because if there's already that feeling that other guys are going to get the leg up, then it's not a truly fair competition. Not that it needs to be fair. It's pro sports, for crying out loud. But right. There's definitely a hell of a lot more passion in taking Dylan Gabriel than there was taking Shador Sanders. And I think a lot of outsiders really don't understand that you're really sticking your neck out there to take Dylan Gabriel, where Shador Sanders fell to the fifth round. Yeah. I know that he comes with everything he comes with, but damn, I think it takes way more guts to sit there and draft Dylan, or stupidity, depending on how this all works out. It's going to take way more guts to draft Dylan Gabriel in the third than it ever was going to be Shador Sanders in the fifth round.
Yeah, well, and I am of the opinion, and I stress this is my opinion, I don't think the Browns want to play Shador Sanders this year. Like, I'm hearing all these hot takes nationally about how Shador Sanders should and will win this quarterback competition, and I'm laughing about it. He's got to get reps first before you can talk about him winning the competition. Second, there's some things there I think that the Browns really want to work on with his game. I feel like that the organization may have, and I use the word may very loosely, may have learned from past sins of, you know, putting guys on the field before they are actually ready to be put on an NFL field. And they might not want to do that this time around with Shador. And the same thing goes for Dylan Gabriel. If you're going to put these guys on the field, you want to make sure that they're in the best possible position to succeed. Now, they can't control circumstances. Various things can happen between now and the season, and you get into the season. And unfortunately, every time the Browns have a quarterback plan, it seems to blow up in their face spectacularly. And fingers crossed, whatever plan that they have this time around, that circumstances allow them to stick to the plan and they're able to execute it. And then ultimately it'll pay the dividends that they're hoping and looking for at this point. But I don't think that they want to play Shador right now. I don't think he's going to win the quarterback competition. Is he going to get a chance to? Sure, absolutely. Now, to your point, Ken, yeah, sure. Could the thumbs be on the scales for it to go one way or another? Yeah, that's usually how these things go. I mean, Kevin Stefanski is on record acknowledging that in his mind he has a leader in the clubhouse, but that doesn't mean that that's the person who's ultimately going to win this thing. I believe that person to be Kenny Pickett, but again, that's my opinion. And you know, based on philosophy and all that, yeah, I don't know what sense it makes to play Joe Flacco. Would I start Joe Flacco week one? Absolutely. Does it make sense when I look at the quarterback room and what they brought in and look at their draft assets going forward and the questions they have to answer? Well, no, it doesn't make sense to play Flacco.
Wait, Darryl, very interesting what you said there about the Browns maybe not really wanting to play Shador Sanders, but at the same time, the fact that you've got people saying last week, this can be the biggest story, you know, heading into the season, or at least this summer, going to be the biggest story this summer. Like, those two things are not compatible.
Well, it's not like four-man quarterback competitions grow on trees, right? I'll be honest with you. I can't remember the last four-man quarterback competition, not just for the Browns, but like in the NFL. We've seen the two- and the three-man competitions, but you got four guys competing for this one job right now, Anthony, and I understand what you're saying. It just doesn't add up. But for me, look, the Browns cannot make decisions based on the most popular player. They already do that with the captain stuff, okay? It's a popularity contest within the locker room, and they elect captains that shouldn't be captains. It might explain some of the leadership problems they have in that organization. But, you know, when you're talking about ultimately deciding the quarterback, where you can't make the decision based on jersey sales and likes and interactions or engagement on social media and stuff like that. It's got to be the best man for the job at that given time. And, you know, like I said, I think that the Browns really want to make sure, whether it's Shador, whether it's Dylan Gabriel, they want to make sure that if and when they put these kids on the field, that they're in the best possible position to succeed.
So you are still of the thought that it's questionable whether or not Shador will even make the roster?
No, I think he makes the roster. It's questionable as to whether or not he plays this season.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Come on, Ken.
What?
Andrew Berry does not cut his draft picks in year one. Come on now.
What?
And also, too, you're not getting Shedeur Sanders through the waiver wire after you cut guys down. Well, you might sneak Dylan Gabriel through. I'm pretty confident you're not sneaking Shedeur Sanders through.
Well, Darryl, I agree with all that. I agree with what you're saying there. I find them to be in a real tough predicament here because I don't feel that strongly about Kenny Pickett. I don't. I heard there was a promo that we played, and I don't know if it was from Friday. I'm sorry. I do try to listen to the guys in the afternoon, and it was, Nick had said, do you get a guy like Kenny Pickett just to tank, and you just don't want to admit it's a tank? And go, boy, they traded a fifth-round pick for Kenny Pickett. I think we just don't want to admit that they think much higher of Kenny Pickett than any of us do. And whether or not that's the right thing or the wrong thing, I mean, hell, but I think they've... Even a fifth-round pick for a guy like that, it's like, you wouldn't get him just to make sure you lose games.
Yeah. I have said repeatedly, the Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski love themselves some Kenny Pickett. Why, I don't know, but I think it has to do with the fact that while it wasn't pretty for him in Pittsburgh, there were a lot of situations, final 5 minutes of games, Ken, where he just flat out got it done. Yeah, it was ugly, but he got it done. And the only thing that matters, it's not the completion percentage or touchdown interception ratio or any other statistic. It's did you win the game? And, Kenny Pickett found ways to win games late, even if it was in some of the most ugly ways you could imagine to win a football game.
All right, Daryl, oftentimes we've heard that the Browns and Andrew Berry, they want to be in the mold of the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, I did see the two of them in a tweet together ranking the all 32 teams.
I saw what you posted. Well, I think it was on Friday. You posted it.
Yep. They're the talent levels of the roster. Number one, Philadelphia. Number 32, not number two, number 32, the Cleveland Browns. But Daryl,
I don't know if I agree with that ranking as far if you're talking about talent level on a roster.
How did we go from having a Super Bowl contending roster to 32nd in a matter of a couple of years?
You got Pro Bowlers on this roster. You got two Pro Bowl offensive linemen. You got a Pro Bowl corner. I realize JOK is hurt, but he's a Pro Bowler. Miles Garrett, David Njoku. Let's not act like the Browns are where they were, 8-9 years ago, 14, 15, 16, 17, where they were just basically devoid of blue chip talent. There's blue chip talent on this roster. Is there enough blue chip talent on this roster? Probably not. And they certainly don't have it at the most important position. But I get annoyed when I see stuff like that because I feel like that there's just some dunking for the sake of dunking on the Browns going on. This is not a talentless roster right now.
I disagree. PFF is like the last bastion of what the Browns have been doing over the last 6 years to put them at the bottom of the league. I don't think that's dunking on the Browns by PFF. Not by them. No.
I don't know what metrics they're using. Because, look, the Browns have more talent than the New Orleans Saints do. It's not even close.
I mean, you would think having Myles Garrett alone would kind of change that, wouldn't it? And obviously, the Browns aren't going to get credit.
You know what? I feel bad. I apologize to Jerry Jeudy. I didn't mention him in my list of players.
There you go.
This is not a roster that is talentless or devoid of talent. There's talent here. It's part of the reason so many people are and should be upset that they went 3-14 last year.
The dangerous one, Daryl Ryder. You always leave us with something great. We thank you very much for the time. He's brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We'll talk to you on Friday, Daryl.
You bet, guys. Have a great week.
Daryl's always great. Strong stuff from him.
I don't think the Browns want to play Shedeur Sanders this year. I'm hearing all these hot takes nationally about how Shedeur Sanders should and will win this quarterback competition, and I'm laughing about it. He's got to get reps first before you can talk about him winning the competition. There's some things there I think that the Browns really want to work on with his game. And the same thing goes for Dylan Gabriel. If you're going to put these guys on the field, you want to make sure that they're in the best possible position to succeed.
That's Daryl Ryder. By the way, by the end of the show, or maybe tomorrow, I'm not sure. Lyman's going to have to decide. He wants to discuss something with men's health and myself.
I want to burst in.
So it's you got to be hanging on her every word or you're going to be lost.
Men's health is the correct topic.
Oh, I think it's part of it, isn't it?
No.
Part of men's health or whatever, man?
Not in the area that we're going to, no. This is not a health thing. We're not making a health conscious decision.
They teach you about it in health class.
Oh, they do. Yeah.
I almost said a word there. No bleep, Ken.
But then it's men's health.
You haven't made this decision because you go, you know what? It's going to add 5 years to my life.
No. But it's.
Did they bring out the banana in your class?
No. Actually, I don't think they taught us how to do it. I think they just.
In a town of 900 people, they just go, hey, you guys do whatever you guys do. And
I think that I remember in fourth grade, they kind of showed you what goes on during like a pregnancy. And then in fifth grade, they actually showed you how to do it, which was, I remember we had a male principal, and then our fifth grade year, because you went through kindergarten through five, right? Our fifth grade year, we had this older lady principal. And so they had a guidance counselor from the middle school come down and take us through the video, right? And this guy was just not prepared for what he was about to hear from the fifth graders at that school at that time. because we knew everything he was asking us. And he said, ask me anything. He didn't realize what he was going to be asked. So we asked him, fifth grade, I hate to say this, the most vulgar things, just to see whether or not he would get embarrassed. Long story short, we all had to write a letter of an apology to him.
Oh, come on.
Well, because they knew that we were doing it on purpose to make him, I don't know, the girls' class, I'm sure that went well.
The girls was always a little more professional.
It was ridiculous.
Because we would compare notes afterwards, and we'd be sitting there going, can you do this at the same time as this, and then also throw in this? Will that be okay?
This dude was sweating like he was going to the chair, man. And we're asking him every question.
You are taking me right back to the moment.
The fact that
I think our class was doing the exact same thing as your class, I'm just assuming they were all doing the exact same thing.
There's a guy who's just arriving to work right now who definitely has the same story from West Geauga schools or Chardon schools or wherever.
So I was in my parents' closet. I found this. And can you do this and then also do this?
We asked, how do I clean this up? And then we're going to move back onto the football because I don't want you to tell everybody what I have to do here as far as men's health. We asked in certain scenarios if you had to be tagged in. Like,
you should not have had to write an apology for this. This is normal, like good questioning.
Is it Legion of Doom? Curiosity. And the one guy just waits to be tagged in, or how does this go?
You got to hold on to that little white rope.
You always had to hold on. People miss that. Rope. You got to have a legal tag. They'll send you right back out.
You better hope Earl Hebner saw it.
Right back out to the couch. You're right back out there.
Terry Pluto, 901. It's going to join us on the show.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. TNCs apply.
For what Daryl says about the quarterbacks, real quick on this. It's not about selling you on anything. It's about telling you the truth. How I feel the absolute truth about all these guys. I like Joe Flacco. I trust Joe Flacco. We had a great run with Joe Flacco. I do feel in the back of my head it's probably not going to go the way we thought it was with Joe Flacco. And I think that they know that. And I think that they don't feel nearly as high on Joe Flacco as we do. And that's why I feel that he will probably be traded by the end of training camp to somebody who's willing to take $4 million or whatever it is and split the difference or however they can do it and take on Joe Flacco. The Kenny Pickett stuff, I'm not going to sit here and be sold on Kenny Pickett. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that
all
of a sudden...
Do we need to re-rack the Nathan Zagura?
Fine. If you want to, that's
interview
fine.
Interview from Friday?
But I'm hearing the same crap, and I go, what makes us better than anything you guys... anything that you guys have described with Kenny Pickett. I'm sorry, Aditi, Nathan, I know I love you both. Everybody and their brother knows I love you both dearly. You're both on the Christmas card list.
But
I'll be damned if I sit here and I try to regurgitate any of the stuff that's been out there with Aditi or with Nathan over the last couple of weeks, saying that, oh my God, he comes from a bad system of offense. He comes from a questionable offensive coordinator. He comes with a questionable offensive line when he was at Pittsburgh. I go, what made us so much better than those positions?
Play it. He's got Nathan.
Pickett is a tough kid. He's been a winner in this league, as I said, believe it or not, since I've been with the Browns. He has the best winning percentage, career winning percentage of anybody that's quarterback for the Browns during that span. So, and he's young, and he's done it in the AFC North. So I'm at least interested to see what that looks like. And I would argue that the opening of our season is not a place for somebody to cut their teeth at the National Football League level. That's probably a place for somebody who's played some games in the NFL. So to me, that's why you would want a veteran, and you'd want somebody who has played. And Kenny Pickett, not only is young, but he has played. He has won, and he's won in this division.
Oh, wait, here's Aditi.
People doubt it when I say this or mock me for when I say it. It's actually a pretty common feeling, a pretty common sentiment in the football world that Kenny Pickett was drafted into a situation that was as far from supportive and as far from positive for a young quarterback as there could be. It was a completely dysfunctional offense with an offensive coordinator who was in over his head. As Terry Bradshaw said, didn't have great offensive line play, didn't have a great run game. There was no support system for a young quarterback.
Now ask Terry what he thought about the Browns last few years. I'd like to hear Terry Bradshaw on that. Willing to say it's in the same neighborhood. But I'm supposed, oh yeah, new lease on, I hope Kenny Pickett does well, but I'm nope, I am not jumping in on that. Respect Nathan and Aditi, love them both, not a chance.
What are the odds?
No.
What are the Kenny Pickett odds for comeback player of the year, the NFL?
I hope they're good.
There's a good value there?
I hope, now I would say I'll give you this. The offensive lines, historically, up until just this last year, the Browns' offensive line over the last 5-6 years has been better than the Pittsburgh Steelers' offensive line. Okay. The offensive coordinator stuff, I will take Kevin Stefanski every single chance I could get, every way over Matt Canada. But I don't know why Arthur Smith, who is a run-first type of offensive coordinator, just, no, we can't be a part of this. No, no way. We have to go get Russell and do Russell things. I didn't understand that. So I am not saying that Kenny Pickett is going to suck up the room. I'm just not going to try to sell you guys on and give the great virtue of Kenny Pickett. No. No. And the other two guys, I agree with Nathan on this. I don't just want to throw rookies out there just to see them. I'm getting texts right now. You want to talk about texts from friends? I'm getting texts from my boss over at 8. Well, if we don't know, how are we not going to know? I go, guys, this is the easiest QB job to win. Look around the league. Are we not the easiest QB job to win? If you show anything of any strong stature, if you're a rookie, you probably won't start week one, because I agree with Nathan. You probably want a guy who's got some experience there as a starting quarterback week one in the beginning of the season. You're taking on tough opponents. It is a tougher schedule at the beginning of the year. You're just starting off your year. You're just starting off your NFL career. You probably want to let those rookies sit. I agree with Nathan. But I'm not throwing those guys out there just so we can see these guys. But I know a lot of people will. I assume because it's such an easy job to win, if they don't win it at any point during the season, I don't need to see them. Because that means that they are not ready and they probably never will be ready. But this whole stuff about, I'm sure Kenny's a likable guy, whatever. I'm not going to sit there and try to sell you guys on Kenny Pickett. He is what he is. I don't need to sell you on anybody else. Dylan Gabriel, I like Dylan Gabriel's arm. I don't know if Dylan Gabriel's going to be a great quarterback. Shador Sanders looked a lot better than what anybody makes him out to be. So for what's that worth? Would I start Shador Sanders week one? Nope.
Yeah, that's
probably no circumstance would I start him week one.
Part of the thing that is making this more compelling than it probably should be is that immediately, and granted, there's not much going on. We're talking 7-on-7s and the video stuff that you've been able to see.
Yeah.
It's very limited to, you know, there's no pass rush coming in. Nobody is, you know, having to throw balls under pressure, under fire. But to hear that Sanders, it's like surprised some people the way that he's been talked about already. Either that or it's just Gabriel is that bad.
I don't think he's that bad. When Zach says doesn't look like an NFL quarterback, Does that mean the accuracy is just all over the place? Can't throw it, can't see over the line, can't because he's a, because of his size? You know, what does that mean by that? But I still stand by it. It's the easiest job to win. That's Tyler Shuck's job down there in New Orleans. I mean, you go by these rosters of what the worst rosters are from PFF. They somehow have the Browns ranked 32nd. Tennessee, that's 31. Who's winning that job? That's Cam Ward because he's number one overall. Tyler Shuck with the New Orleans Saints at number 30. Bryce Young with the Carolina Panthers at number 29, clearly. Justin Fields with the New York Jets at number 28, clearly. Russell Wilson with the New York Giants at number 27, clearly. Even though it gets a little bit murky there, clearly still that guy. So it's the easiest job to win. If one of these guys, it's probably going to be Kenny Pickett, but if one of these guys can't overtake him, either Kenny's done very well, or I don't need to see either of these guys because they can't conduct themselves as professionals. And then we can't, I mean, a fifth-round pick's a fifth-round pick. I'm not going to sit there and say you wasted anything on Shedeur Sanders. But a third-round pick, damn it, you can end up ruining the day over that. Because the guys who do go in the third round do end up being very contributing players. Not all of them become Hall of Famers, but they become contributors to their football team. And you can only play one quarterback at a time. Does Terry agree with Keith Law of The Athletic? The Guardians should already be worried about Travis Bazana. I didn't say it, guys. That's Keith Law of The Athletic. He goes on Bass in Films.
2 months into year two.
That's part of the article. 2 months in. Is it technically year two? He was drafted in June. This just wraps up year one.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
He barely got a season last year.
Yeah,
so
last year doesn't really count.
Because they hold the draft in the middle of the year. I found it to be very surprising that he had Travis Bazana. He didn't move anywhere, so I wonder if he's just never been very high on Travis Bazana because he has a top 50 ranking. He's got the 50 there. He had Travis Bazana previously before the season at 25. He still has him at 25. Says he, quote, has a very steep swing, striking out 28% of the time in AA before the injury. This is Keith Law saying it. Quote, I've also had less than glowing reports on his defense at second base. If he's a left fielder and the contact skill isn't what it appeared to be, his most likely outcome isn't close to what it seemed last spring. We're 2 months in. Lord almighty. Speaking of Travis Bazana, or speaking about rookies, Shedeur Sanders, he is a rookie for your Cleveland Browns. What? Do you like that? Do you like that little thing? Yeah, that was nice, wasn't it? Deion Sanders was on the Say What Needs to Be Said podcast with Asante Samuel.
Now say it five times fast.
Yes.
Say what needs to be said. 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 Say what needs to be said.
You got
to
add Asante Samuel in there.
Oh, no. That's unfair. I was just being ridiculous, Owen.
Here's Prime.
By the seashore.
Here's Prime on the narratives assigned to Shedeur.
I know it was a lot of rumors about the next level, and I can't see that. When I think a couple people who may have taken shots at my kids, they were afraid that I would go. That's where the shots came from. All you got to do is just sit back and listen. People don't want to do that. They want to create these narratives and create these stories and then attach them to a kid that ain't ever done nothing wrong.
Here he is addressing the rumors. Now, this one's a little bit spicy.
How does that make you feel when you see your colleagues or your peers going in on you, man? Like, how does that make you feel?
You have no idea. People always been in front of the camera, so they know how to navigate. They know how to handle themselves. Yeah. And you're not going to catch them in no foolery and no mess.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
When you sit up there and say something like, he went in a meeting unprepared, like, dude, Shedeur Sanders, who's had six different coordinators, who has still functioned and went up, leveled up every time we brought somebody new in, and you're going to tell me he
every
was
situation.
You're going to tell me he had on headphones. Shedeur, anybody know my son, understand he's a professional. Like, he's going to go into a meeting with headphones on. Like, y'all, come on.
Then why do they say it?
By the way, funny.
Why do they say this?
It is funny to hear the guy that coached him talk about all the different coordinators. Because normally, when we talk about the coordinators, it's because, you know, coaches are getting fired and everything. And Deion's like, man, look at what he had to do. All these different coaches. Like, you hired all these coaches and then you got rid of all these coaches.
So what's the truth here? Because why would you make up such a terrible thing?
Yeah, that'd be pretty big.
I'm looking in the Giants' direction. Why would you make up such
a
terrible
thing?
That's a
pretty big thing to get wrong, right?
Yes.
Anybody that's leaking out all this stuff, because that's all the Giants have been doing. And you said it best. They're not even leaking. They're just flat out telling people, anybody that will listen.
Well, on tape. They take Jackson Dart at the back end of the first round, and all they do is, I think they're now starting to move on, but I follow the Giants closely. And it seemed like for weeks, all they could do was talk about Shador Sanders and reasons why they didn't draft Shador Sanders when they took Jackson Dart in the first round. It's like, who's your football player? Is it Jackson Dart or the guy you didn't take and made a big deal about not taking? So I didn't like that. But I think the truth, as always, and it only takes one, and anonymous is anonymous is anonymous, so we'll never truly know. It took one bad meeting with one team that probably wanted to meet with him that he did not take seriously as a potential suitor for him. And because he didn't take it seriously as a potential suitor, he probably thought it was a waste of his time. And that team, whoever they were, maybe it certainly was the Giants because they were the ones saying how he had earphones in. Not headphones, but the AirPods and whatever?
Earbuds.
Earbuds, yeah.
My daughter tells me to take them out now.
I just got used to talking to people with them in.
Daddy, AirPods, out.
I just assumed that they were already in all the time for a lot of people.
I always have mine in, yeah, when I'm not here.
I have full conversations with people, and they have their AirPods, earbuds, whatever in. You don't?
I have.
Okay.
But people get mad. People get mad at me. I was just going
to
say.
I just got over it and moved on because I figured it was the future of everything, so I didn't have to. If I was going to get mad, I was just going to get mad at everybody. Go ahead. You were going to say something.
The fact that Caleb Williams, now that it's come out in this book that's getting published, and there hasn't really been a lot of pushback from the Caleb Williams crowd, but that they were going to try to orchestrate something potentially. And we wondered all along whether the Sanders were trying to do that, trying to kind of pick their destination. Everything they did blew up in their face. It did not work out at all like obviously they were hoping for it to. But I wondered about that, Ken. Did he, and we may never know, was he sabotaging some of the meetings because he thought he had another viable option that he thought was going to be better for his career?
I don't think he was. Was he sabotaging any meeting? No. I just think that there were meetings he probably had to go to. Felt he had to go to. Yeah.
Like everything they did obviously did not work. I mean, going in the fifth round.
I mean, you had QB needy teams that passed on you until the fifth round. And the Browns were one of them. And they had already taken a quarterback before that. So the Browns figured, I mean, you can say whatever you want to. And Kevin Stefanski can say whatever he wants to. And certainly Andrew Berry can when they speak to the media today at the Browns Foundation golf outing, which Baskin and Phelps will be at. That's coming up later today at 10 o'clock. So they can say whatever they want. It's clearly something he did, ruffled feathers, because a QB needy team passed on you. And so clearly the Browns were even like, oh, what the hell? Let's just go ahead and take him and see what he has. To a guy like Shador Sanders, who was supposed to be, to a lot of people, top 10 before this all started. 216-474-0092. Davis in Cleveland, you're next up on the Fan. Yellow.
Yes, good morning. How you fellas doing this morning?
We're doing wonderful, Davis. You go right on ahead.
I'll just be glad when we can be done with the foolery with the Sanders business. I mean, the league has already showed that they're not running anything. They're punishing him enough. Then he turned around and made this foolish third-round pick and pick a. You understand what I'm saying? And that was a wasted pick. Can the Browns admit the fact that they made a mistake at that pick?
Wait a minute. You want him to already – wait, Davis, you want him to already make the admittance that they've made a mistake at a third-round pick before even the end of OTAs?
Yes, I do. Because the guy's too small, number one.
You know how crazy that sounds, though, Davis, don't you?
I mean, it sounds not crazy to me. I mean, he's barely 5'10".
Well, I understand.
Over the nine.
So if he's that short and that's the only component, then why would anybody ever draft him? Like it was said he was going to be drafted by somebody, not in the third round. I'll grant you that.
Why do we have to do it? We could have got Howard. Well, that was concerned.
Well, Howard went in the sixth round himself. Well, that would be just as much of an overdraft to the rest of the NFL.
But see, if I'd had to get either one of the quarterbacks, I'd have got Howard.
Listen, Davis, if we're making a choice, and thank you very much for the call. I know what I said about Will Howard before the draft, and I still like Will Howard, and I'm not going to sit there and say that he's going to make us eat it for the next 20 years the way that some people did, but I thought very highly of Will Howard. Yeah, I probably at that time I would have taken Will Howard over Dylan Gabriel and probably wouldn't even have thought twice about it because I didn't know where Dylan Gabriel was going to fit in the draft, if he was going to fit in the draft to me. I just didn't think about him. And I think a lot of people just didn't think about him either. But, hey, I'm not going to sit there and write him off altogether just because he's not the tallest quarterback. Can't say the word that we had to dump right there for crying out loud. Because he's not the tallest quarterback because of any of the other reasons. I mean, it's a strong pick to make. It's a strong choice to make, and they'll live with it. But you're not going to admit – there's nothing to admit right now that he is a wasted pick in the third round. We got to see him in the preseason. We got to see him in training camp. OTAs aren't even going to be able to help justify one way or the other about what he is. So that's where we're at right now. When you got four quarterbacks right now, we're going to have conversations about all these guys, about what they can do and what they can't do, and what they can actually do for your football team. Joe Flacco has his own conversation. Kenny has his own conversation. God, we just had it. Shador, how seriously he takes his craft, how good he actually is. Is he able to conduct an offense at the NFL level? And Dylan Gabriel, I think that Dylan is an adult, and I think that Dylan is a guy that commands respect. But there's been other guys who have been, I think, bona fide leaders who have just not been able to play in the NFL at that level. And maybe Dylan's going to end up being that guy, Tone. I'm not sure. But I just can't sit here and keep having the same conversation about Dylan Gabriel just because of his height. I guess we'll just have to see.
I am so over a lot of that. I mean, honestly, we know he's short. I don't understand why they drafted him where he did. And he's just got to come out. And you already talk about the gifts that you think he does have, about him being able to throw the ball, you know, with the velocity and the things that you say he can do. All right. We know he's short. Like, at this point, is there really any difference between 5'10 and 6 foot? Like, what's the difference in any of that?
Well, I think
he got one pass batted down by Mason Graham. And, you know, that had everybody thinking that he's never going to be able to do anything ever.
Why? Well, I look at guys and I say, you know, 5'10", it's shorter. This is uncharted waters. I know Tyrod Taylor's around that size. Tyrod's gone out and had a decent enough career as a backup in the NFL and has had some flashes of some really good play in the past. He was very, very effective with the Baltimore Ravens. Bryce Young is not the tallest guy in the world. He was taken number one overall. I saw Ryan Mallett get taken. Ryan Mallett was as tall as the day is long. So I'm not that concerned as much about the size of Dylan Gabriel as I am just, okay, what's his talent at? Because if Zach is saying that his talent isn't there as far as being able to complete passes in tight windows or just because of his size, you know, I got to see more of that. But I'm not going to lie to anybody. I didn't see anything in that first day, that opening day that I was available to be there, that would say that he was just terrible and we can't take a guy like that. No.